16b to chapter 5, verse 1. Here are the words of Scripture. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as Jesus is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because God first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from Christ is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. So ends the reading for this morning.
Thank you, Elsa. Thank you for that excellent reading. Today's scripture passage is filled with such beautiful assurances of the very nature of God. God as love. Love builds, binding us together with God through Jesus Christ, but also binding us together with our siblings and indeed with all whom God loves. This bond of love, when perfectly lived out, has no room for fear or judgment. Love makes us bold, too full of the love that Christ has for the world and too full of the love that God has for us to worry about what the world might think of us. We love because God first loved us. And with this love, we are called to be as Christ to the world. I suppose I'm feeling nostalgic, but it does seem that on this Mother's Day, the love of a mother is perhaps the best example of this kind of life-giving love. We know that the love we received from our mothers is in us forever, and there are many stories of mothers risking everything for the sake of their children. This fierce love is the biological life force that runs through our not only humans, but also throughout the animal kingdom. This maternal love has certainly been challenged and stretched this last year, which may be why I'm feeling more nostalgic than usual this Mother's Day. Some of us have lost our mothers. Some of us have lost our mothers a while ago. But given the ravages of COVID-19, we've got to know that many, many thousands of people in this nation alone must have lost their mothers this year. And even if they didn't die from COVID, the pandemic made it harder to be with loved ones or to celebrate their lives the way we would want to. I'm glad for those. There are those among us in this congregation who have been able to spend time with their mothers. Some are still with their moms. Some of them have had to say goodbye to their moms. And even in challenging times, I'm thankful that they've been able to be with them. And for those who could not, let us know that the bonds of love are forever and they are felt, even when we are physically separated. As hard as it is when we must say goodbye to our mothers, it's so much harder when it goes the other way, when mothers lose their children. As I mentioned when lighting the peace candle, this year has also been marked by the grief of too many mothers of children who have been killed by violence. Their pain is compounded when the deaths make no sense. Deaths at the hands of police or people pretending to be police. Deaths as they were jogging or watching TV or sleeping in their own home, or driving a car with an expired registration sticker. But that bold love that God gives us, that bold maternal love, has driven many mothers to turn their grief into action. And the mothers of the movement are not the first ones. Do you remember MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving? That was started actually right here in Southern California after Candace Leitner's daughter was killed by a drunk driver. Mothers of Mass Shootings formed Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. They have since joined another organization to be called Every Town for Gun Safety. And way too many grieving African mothers have fueled the civil rights movement, even as far back, even before the 1950s, but definitely in the 1950s, when Emmett Till's mother insisted that the mangled body of her tortured, lynched son, 14-year-old Emmett Till, be seen by the world. And now, of course, as I mentioned, the ever-growing mothers of the movement, supporting each other and crying out for justice each time yet another unarmed, blunt, Black young person is killed for no reason. This is so powerful, the passion of a mother's love for her child. If she could not save her child from forces beyond her control, her love is transformed into fighting to protest other, the death, to, I'm sorry, to protect other mothers' children. Now, the Bible tells us that this mother's love transcends biology. Certainly, women can adopt and love their adopted children, and they can be like a mother for others. But Jesus goes further than that. In all the gospel stories, especially in Luke, Jesus states that anyone can be the mother or sister or brother to Jesus. Indeed, even with mom knocking on the door where he was, Jesus asked, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. This is more relevant actually now than ever. For a while, Mother's Day became a generic celebration. And kind of the way it became more inclusive was that all women would be celebrated. So like, even though I don't have children, I would usually get a flower on Mother's Day just because I was a woman. But nowadays we're kind of in this non-binary time. And so the question now is, how are all of us mothers for others, regardless of our gender identity? I was reminded of this recently because one of my colleagues, a man, commented to me on how he has the maternal role, and he is much more maternal than his husband. He was most present with the kids. He focuses on their basic life needs like food and health, and he interacts more with their education and their overall emotional development. So being a mother isn't just bearing the child, or feeding and protecting the child, and loving the child, though, of course, all of these things are important. But how do mothers nurture, encourage, and eventually let go and share their beloved with the world? To that extent, all of us are called to be like mothers as we bear the gifts that God has entrusted us with, as we nurture those who need care and healing and support, as we give of ourselves to further the saving will of God. As God has loved us and mothered us first, we pass on that love and care to others. I don't know if you could tell that the artwork shown during the scripture reading was called Endless Road, and it depicts the legacy that one generation passes on to the next since the beginning of time. Indeed, just as one generation gives birth to the next, As Christians, we are all called to pass the faith on to this and future generations. Even as long ago as the 13th century, the call to be a mother in the faith was given to all, regardless of gender. The German theologian and mystic Meister Eckhart wrote, "We are all meant to be mothers of God." Sounds kind of provocative, actually. We are all meant to be mothers of God. What good is it to me if this eternal birth of the divine Son takes place unceasingly, but does not take place within myself? And what good is it to me if Mary is full of grace, if I am not also full of grace? What good is it to me for the Creator to give birth to his Son, if I also do not give birth to him in my time and my culture? This then is the fullness of time, when the Son of God is begotten in us. So we are all to bear and nurture and represent Christ for our time and place. That can be done in many ways, because there are so many ways this world needs Christ's love. I don't know if you recognize the picture on the screen, but it sure looks to me like someone doing a mother's duty, cleaning up and caring for your child after some bullies got out of control. You may know that this is Representative Andy Kim of New Jersey. He began his congressional career on January 3rd, 2019. And 2 years and 3 days later, he spent an hour and a half on his knees after midnight, filling trash bags with the remains of the rioting of the Capitol building, first in the rotunda, then the National Statuary Hall and other rooms. He said, "I was just overwhelmed with emotion. The rotunda is a room that I love so much. It's the heart of the Capitol, literally the heart of the country. It pained me so much to see it in this kind of condition." Through this loving, humble act of service, Congressman Kim nurtured back to life the love of country that some of us have seemed to have forgotten. Thank God for being the mother that we need. Thank God for being the mother that we need from the very beginnings of our life through all the turmoil and joys of our days. And thank God for giving us family and purpose, whether or not we have biological mothers who love us, whether or not we have children of our own. We all have the love, the blessing, and the awesome responsibility to be as Christ for the world, as mothers for the world, mothers to people who need that extra care, mothers who nurture the potential in friends and church members, mothers to God's dream of tomorrow. I close with a reminder of a very young person who bore the hope for all of us this last January, hope that we can be builders of a better future, that we can be bearers of the light.
We will rebuild, reconcile, and recover in every known nook of our nation, in every corner called our country. Our people, diverse and beautiful, will emerge battered and beautiful. When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it. For there is always light if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it.
As we get ready for the communion, our time of communion, let us remember always that we are called to be mothers for tomorrow. Amen.